accession number 19103, reel 3.
Annie Hammond, reel 3.
Yeah, the Belfast people, they were good to us. They loved the Navy anyway. But when we came back after another convoy, things had changed. My God, they had changed.
Why was that?
Well, the Yanks had arrived, hadn't they? Eh? Oh dear, oh dear.
How did that affect things?
Well, we were sailing down the river when we saw the troop ships arriving with all the Yanks coming up in barges and stuff and all. And I thought the Japs had arrived myself when I looked at them. I'd never seen a Yank before. Anyway, all the girlfriends had gone, they were all with Yanks and God knows what. You know what I mean? We nearly caused a riot up in Belfast after that. Dear, oh dear, the things we did.
What did you do?
Well, we're doing a march past, you, aren't we? We're doing a march past through the city centre, and all these Americans were lounging about the shops and that with their cigars stuck in their mouths and that, you know what I mean? And somebody started to sing, it wasn't the Yanks that won the war, barley. Jesus, all the Yanks started converging. I thought, dear me, there's going to be a right carry on here. Eh? You know, things like that happened. Never, it was all right afterwards.
Was there a fight?
No, I don't think so. No, but they were really getting the, trying to make them mad, you know. Yeah, things like that. The average sailor does funny things, you know. We had a couple of beers down and had a good march past, and the old what's name took the salute, and that was that. But before I joined Allan Bank, shall I tell you a funny experience? Before I joined Allan Bank, I had to go to Campbelltown in Argyll. Well, it was an anti-submarine detector instructor course. And when I was there, the provost got killed. A hit-and-run aircraft, German aircraft, dropped this land, a mine or something or other. They hit his bungalow in Carradale, near Campbelltown. And I was in the firing party, you know, to bury the guy. And we marched down with our capes, because the heavens just opened. And we're standing by the grave, after giving the salute, you know, and they lowered the coffin. Well, the grave digger was like a Will Fife. I always remember him. Looked like Will Fife, a little beard and all that, you know. Little dour Scot he was. And when the coffin went into the... It floated. Didn't sink. It floated. And he said, "If you're no dead, no jock, you'll soon be drowned." I thought, well, I don't know. I laughed my head off, really, but you shouldn't have done. But, you know, things you remember like that. They weren't. Nobody liked the guy anyway, apparently, the provost, the mayor. Nobody likes the mayor, do they?
No.
He was the only one who got killed that night. But I like Campbelltown, lovely little place, little fishing. I'd love to spend a holiday up there sometime. Lovely fishing place. Anyway, coming back to Allan Bank, we sailed again from Belfast when the Yanks were arriving, and on to the next convoy, see? So, do you want to hear about that
yes,
one?
Yes, please. Was it PQ-18?
PQ-18. Well, Captain Nash, he got us about... Nobody knew where we were going. He said, well, we're off to where we came from before, he said. Any white rats can leave the ship now. That was his remarks on the old doings. So I thought, oh, Jesus, we're in for it now, mate. Oh, dear, oh, dear. And we took the same route up to Iceland again. I think it was Cedarsfield we used to put into. A place called Cedarsfield. Lovely mountainous area. And I didn't see Reykjavik until I joined another ship. We used to put into Reykjavik quite a bit afterwards, but I didn't go to Reykjavik until later. Anyway, we sailed again, and we had more escorts. We had the four heavy cruisers, Nigeria, Kent, and all that. We had corvettes, we had destroyers, we had lovely lot of escorts we had in PQ-18. And I don't think it's the same thing happened. Aircraft coming out the sun, bloody torpedoes flying everywhere. I reported one streak coming along, it was about 3 feet away from the ship coming along. We just missed us. We're a lucky ship, very lucky ship on them convoys. It wasn't until we got to the Med afterwards that we got a few casualties. Anyway, we got as far as Murmansk, and we brought the remnants of other PQ-17 back. It wasn't half so bad as PQ-16, anyway, 18. We seemed to get better, you know. We had more cover, you know. We had a few aircraft to help us from the Woolworth carrier, you know, and all that carry-on.
Was it cold on PQ-18?
There was one convoy that was really cold, yeah. But it used to get colder as you went further north, you know. But it was a dry cold. It wasn't so bad as some of the Arctic convoys where everything was iced up, you know, at that time of the year. We didn't do so bad, really. Our guns weren't having to be, you know, defrosted and all that kind of. Some of the convoys apparently were really iced up. All the halards used to get. Anyway, no, PQ-18 wasn't so bad as 16, I remember. I can't remember too much about 18, really.
Did you go ashore in Russia again?
No, we never went ashore. We turned round somewhere and brought the other ships back. No, we never got. I know we ran out of, when we was in Russia, we ran out of, we lived on rice for a long time, and reindeer, yak they called it, like a hard meat, very tough meat. And I remember when we were there that time, we used to chuck what they call the gash, you know, the stuff over the side. And there was Estonians and Latvians and Lithuanians, like labour force. And they used to dive in the water and eat the potato peels a lot. They did, them poor sod. By the Red Army used to treat them terrible when they got back on the jetty because they were labour force. I remember them getting treated very badly. But anyway, we lived on rice and yak for a long time. But every Russian carries a bottle of vodka, you know. And it's rough vodka. Every Russian, they always have a bottle of vodka in their pocket. And when we went to the cinema in Archangel, remember that? It was all Russian military films of the success of the Russians and all that. And things like that. But some of the blokes went to see there was 3,000 survivors of Merchant Navy survivors in Russia in these hospitals and that. A lot of them had the amputations with a frostbite and that. And I never got to see that. I went to one of the kindergartens. Somebody took us to the kindergarten where these, what they call love children, live. They were like born, you know, like loved. They call love children, the Russians used to call them. And when they were 15 or 16, they were put in the Red Army anyway. But they were spotless, them places where the people used to look after the kids. But I always got all the kids, no matter where I was, bloody Germany, Belgium or France. Or kids always I used to give them, you know, bits of chocolate, Christ or what. They're always welcome. Malta was the same. Nice people.
What about these PQ-17 survivors that you took back? Oh, did you have much contact with them?
Not really, no. I don't remember too much about that one coming back. PQ-18.
So what happened in the Allen Bank after PQ-18?
Well, we zigzagged across the Atlantic afterwards when we sailed again after a shore leave and God knows what in Belfast, and we were zigzagged for 3 weeks across the Atlantic, and suddenly we arrived in Gibraltar, past Gibraltar with a convoy of ships. So 3 weeks, and all the troop ships and God knows what, all exercising on the decks they were. There's something coming off of here. We didn't know a damn thing. Didn't see much action, and we just dropped a few charges now and again somewhere. And until we got to North Africa, and Oran, I think it was. And there was cruisers and merchant ships, landing craft and all that. And the landings wasn't so bad there in North Africa. There was not too much trouble. I know one cruiser had to fire guns into Oran. Apparently a free, one of these De Gaulle, not De Gaulle, these against Vichy French, that's right. I remember the Foreign Legion posted to Mercer El Kabir, they called it. I remember that. And then this French destroyer, Vichy French, came out and challenged the cruisers. And the cruisers just opened up on her and just blasted her into against the cliffs, I think. And we carried on to a cold place called Arzu Beach. Further up, there was no opposition there. They just got the blokes up ashore and covered them while I went ashore. And it was a peaceful beach that. The next thing I know, we were in Algiers. Well, in Algiers, we were just calmly anchored there in Algiers, and we were allowed to go ashore, and God knows what. And they had trouble with the Italian swimmers there, sticking the mines on the ships, you know, blowing them up. They had trouble there. So you had to go around, some of the blokes had to go around in a small boat, dropping these charges. And anybody swimming, they'd get their lungs blasted, wouldn't they? That happened in Gibraltar afterwards, I noticed. And Alexandria, they used to do that. Well, when we put into Ferryville, a place called Ferryville, they've renamed it now, we put in there, and we were given 12 hours leave to go to Tunis. So we went up to Tunis and had 12 hours there, and we were billeted in 25 Judy Madrid Street in Tunis, French family they were. We took our rations with us, cut to the corned beef and God knows what. And my mate and I, two of us in there, my mate and I went to Tunis and had a couple of vinos with some Sigalese troops, the black as that pig they were. The nice blokes they were, French rats. And well away we were. And when we came back to our billet, the landlady and her family had eaten all our rations, because they hadn't seen corned beef for a while, I suppose. But they gave us some dried fruit to eat. So anyway, we didn't bother too much. Anyway, in the middle of the night, I remember sleeping there, this Seam Harbour bloke who I went ashore with, he's a bit of a wimp, he was. He says, somebody's in the room. I said, well, get out. Pull your knife out and challenge the guy. But he didn't. And anyway, I jumped out and I said, come out, whoever you are. And these two chickens run from underneath the bed. So I chucked them out the window. Anyway, that was it. He thought somebody was in the room. And he went and came back to Ferryville anyway. And this boat was going round dropping these charges for the swimmers, apparently. And we were down below, we just made some tea or something, we were drinking our tea, and the ship just, whoom, we all dashed up the top and there, with this little boat was coming out of the sky, blown up. He'd dropped a charge on an ammunition ship, apparently, that had been sunk, you know. So that was that. Nobody survived that. Sub-lieutenant and about three or four ratings, I think. Anyway, the boat was just coming out of the sky when we went up there. But you ever see a ship's mast come out of the sky? It's like a bloody matchstick coming. I thought, and, oh dear, oh dear. Anyway, we're lucky there, weren't we? So off we go, along the coast, put into Tobruk. Went into Tobruk. And I always remember Tobruk, just a forest of masts going into Tobruk. All the ships had been sunk. Pulled alongside there, Tobruk. And the Yanks, apparently, where was it? Another place we went, I think it was Tobruk. The Yanks had bombarded this place for 3 days. And there wasn't a German for 30 miles. They'd blasted the place. Anyway, they came out of Tobruk and went up to Alexandria then. Went ashore in Alexandria. And it was all right. I liked Alex. And the kids up there, the Egyptians, you know, they used to dash up to you and whiten one of your shoes or your boot and then ask you if you want your boots polished. So you had to get them done anyway. They used to dash up and put a bit of white. You know what I mean? Chippos. So anyway, yeah, it was all right. I liked Alexandria. Got a few photographs taken and all that carrying. And we sailed to, we were told that we were in the invasion of Sardinia. So that to spread the word around to the gypos that we were going to Sardinia. So this gypo said, where you go from here? I said, we're off to Sardinia, mate. You know? Well, word would get to the Germans, we knew that. So it wasn't Sardinia, it was Sicily, wasn't it? So we went to Sicily, off the beachhead there. And I remember the drone of aircraft coming along, gliders flying everywhere, and oh, bloody hell. And the next thing I know, everybody opened up on the gliders, didn't they? They'd given the wrong signal, the gliders. Apparently the signal changed half, every half hour, apparently, the different lights, flares. Somebody opened up on our own men. We were firing out our own blocks, weren't we? Anyway, that mistake was rectified eventually, I suppose. And then we... suddenly this... I was on the upper deck and this... It was like a hurricane coming towards you. And it got louder and louder. So we all hit the deck. 16 of us hit the deck. And... all I remember was just red stuff flying everywhere, shrapnel, I suppose. Near miss, well, a near miss anyway. And started to pick up the dead then afterwards.
What had attacked you?
A high flying bomb, apparently. Aircraft flying very high. The Italian plane had dropped this bomb and it came down because they used to fly high, the high ties. You couldn't get on them. And it come down, you know, and just missed the ship. Hit the ship's side or something, bunk. Anyway, my mate was Darling was killed. They buried him ashore. They buried him ashore anyway with one or two others, I think. And then apparently he was buried with some soldiers. You see, the Italians ashore there had given themselves up. The Germans had put a minefield behind the Italians, so they couldn't retreat, so they had to give themselves up. And when they were guarding, when these two soldiers, British soldiers, was guarding these Itais, they had their throats cut by the Itais, so they buried them with our two or three people ashore in Sicily. Anyway, we left there, that beachhead at Palermo, I think it was Palermo. We went down, we were the first ship to go into Port Augusta, a place called Port Augusta. That's just further around than Syracuse. They'd bombed a hospital ship in Syracuse, apparently. And we went around to Port Augusta. Well, we were the first ship in there. We hadn't been in there about an hour when three aircraft come over the hills and there were bloody hurricanes, Spitfires or hurricanes, our own aircraft. I thought, Jesus Christ. Anyway, nobody was hurt or killed, and we didn't over and over. The next thing we know was up to as far as Messina. We turned round then, came back towards Malta, and suddenly this, apparently we never saw it, but the Newfoundland, the cruiser had been torpedoed, and its stern blown off. And everybody, known Aztecs like I did, I knew that it was something up, because you get a, you know, ping, you know, the old echo of it, sounding machine. And everybody, destroyers, those MTBs and gunner, they're all depth charging. And everybody was depth charging. And there must have been about 20-odd ships all around this. And suddenly this U-boat surfaced. Oh, I thought it was a lovely sight. You know? So it couldn't get away. The turret, the cannon tower opened. And a bloke, the gunner, ran down, the German gunner ran down. And you could see him. You know, it was very plain. It was, I could see him through the binoculars. And he was going to fire. But he didn't get the chance. Caught, everybody opened up. And that's just finished. I think an MTB went over the top of the bunk to finish him off. The rest of the crew would be blown to bits, I suppose, wouldn't they? Now, that was the first U-boat I ever saw.
Where was that?
Just off Sicily. Like in the Straits of U, I don't know what the number was. But see it plainly on the side, U-252. But the German gunner, I mean, he I don't know why he did that to you. Brave man. Anyway, the MTBs finished them off, I think. We came back to came back through the Med, and we finished up at Solano Beachhead. That's right. And just before we got to Solano Beachhead, the war with Italy was over. They announced. But to still carry on with the landings, what was that? And it was very high mountains there were, them Hampshires had to get up. We could see them plainly from where we were. Quite a lot of landing craft around, and it was, they got ashore all right anyway. But the Hampshires apparently got hemmed in there. Had to rush the Gurkhas round from Taranto to help them. And they got them out of trouble. And we were at Salerno quite a bit, and we came back to Tripoli then for a rest. And that's where I met that Bannister again, that sub-lieutenant. He was a sub-lieutenant then, in Tripoli. I think it was Tripoli. And he said, I said, he had a big black beard he'd grown. I said, I didn't recognise the bloke. And I didn't salute him, and he told me off for not saluting him. He said, I'm Sub-Lieutenant Bannister. You remember me? And on the Allen Bank, I was, and this Butch Fry, the three badgers, said, well, you couldn't navigate so-and-so, so-and-so. Anyway, that, he said, well, I followed them, the other bastards in, he said, in Landencraft. I followed them in, you know. He said, he must have got them. He was navigator of a Landencraft, apparently. He followed the other one. So anyway, that was that, and I never saw him again afterwards. I said, good for you, sir. You did a good job, that was it. And we came back from there, from Solana to Belfast again, and apparently they took the ship to Barrow-on-Furness, and we were sent down to barracks and drafted to other ships, weren't we? And they took the guns off, and the Allen Bank finished up with Arromanch. With a blockade ship. That was it. But there were a good crew on board Allen Bank. There was one or two skates on there, but most of them were all right.
Skates?
Eh?
What do you mean by skate?
Hmm?
What do you mean by a skate?
Well, you know, some that you wouldn't give a halfpenny to, you know what I mean? You had to watch every move with them, you know. Just like in civilian life, you get people you trust and some you don't you? I really, I'll tell you who I got on with. We had three French blokes there who escaped from France and were aboard us. And one of them lives in Chichester. He married a girl, he changed his name to Lockwood. And I saw him out 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. He's still alive. He was a smashing bloke, he was, Morris Lockwood. And the other two were good too. Yeah, they were all right. But the such a mixed crew, you see, in the Navy. You used to get mixed, you get Irish, you get a lot of Newcastle people, old Geordies and Welsh people. You know. But on the other ships I was on, I mean, oh dear. The things I can tell you about that, them other ones. But the Allenbank was a good ship, good crew they were.
So when did you leave the Allenbank?
1943, wasn't it? I was two.
Well, Salerno was September 43.
Was it? Oh. Well, I left it after we came back from Salerno, anyway.
Was it winter time?
Eh?
Was it winter time when you left?
Yeah, it must have been. It must have been, because I joined the Jason just after D-Day, the Jason.
Was that your next ship?
Next ship was the Jason, yeah.
Can you tell me about joining the Jason, please?
Well,
what kind of a ship was this?
It was a minesweeper. It was a Halcyon class minesweeper, that was.
Where did you join the ship?
Spithead, near Pompey. And it'd be, that old Jason had been up on the Russian convoys, you know. There were a lot of minesweepers up there that had done a lot of work up there, that Jason had. So most of the crew knew that, you know, we were intermixed, because we'd been at the same places all the time, you know. And I met a bloke from Hastings called Len Sellens. He used to play the accordion. I used to go ashore with him. Couldn't go wrong when you had him with you, because he used to get free beer and play the. And I met him aboard the Jason. Len Sellens, remember him.
What were living conditions like in this ship?
On the Jason? Well, worse than the Allenbank, because it was a smaller ship. But as I said, about an inch and a foot and a half apart, the hammocks again. You had to take them down and stow them and all that, carry them. That was in fact, on Jason, I was quartermaster one day on there. And somebody left a pan of hot fat boiling in the galley after coming back from shore. Well, I came down below and I saw this smoke bulging from the galley. Well, I said, everybody out, ship, fire in the galley. Well, it was a usual saying, fire in the galley. It's like shouting wolf, you know. And the remarks I got back, you know, get your head down and all that. I said, fire in the galley, for get out. And I grabbed a hydrant and trying to control the fire and all this carry on. And